Good morning, Chairperson.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, Chair.
Okay, well, thanks. Do we have the required quorum?
We have the quorum, Chair. You can proceed.
All right, thank you. Greetings, honorable members. I hope you can hear me clearly now.
We can hear you, Chair.
Yeah, something that pops up all the time. Thank you. Good morning, honorable members. greetings to all the people on the platform, in particular those from civil society, PLOs, as well as the South Africans who always take interest in the work of this committee. We are in the Portfolio Committee on Communications in the National Assembly to consider a few items. And I just thought maybe before I officially open them, that we dispense with the formalities of the meeting. This meeting, as you know, is convened on a virtual platform. We are all reminded, in particular participants on the platform, starting with honorable members, that we are expected to mute our mics and switch off video cameras until you are recognized by the chairperson to speak. In that case, once recognized, you will then switch on your video camera and mute your mic and then proceed to speak. In situations where there may be connectivity challenges, you can ask the permission of the chairperson to switch off your video camera so as to maximize your bandwidth. And in that score, you will then proceed without the video camera. But we are encouraged at all times to switch on our video cameras, which should help those that are following the meeting to also relate to the person that may be on the platform. So this applies to all other participants that may need to come in the meeting. Of course, there may be situations where we get to be disconnected and you have to reconnect to the meeting. At all times when you connect to the meeting, ensure that your microphone is muted and that your video camera is off. So this is to avoid background sounds that could be picked up by microphones and that could distract a speaker that may be on the platform. As the meeting is allowed in terms of the rules to have point of orders raised, members are guided to ensure that they follow the rules also on that. You would not unmute your mic until the chairperson would have recognized you for the point of order, which point of order the chairperson could also rule on in line with the rules. We are also guided, members, that we do not raise unnecessary point of orders that could lead to the collapse of the meeting on this platform. So having made that reminder, honorable members, I will then check if there are apologies or leave of absence for members who may not be in the meeting. Committee support.
Good morning, Chairperson. We have an apology for Ms. Kubeka, who is not well, and also Mr. Pambu and Ms. Majosi. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, those are apologies that have been received from honorable members, which, as already stated, does not affect the quorum for this meeting. So we are able to proceed. Just quick opening remarks, which will also help guide the meeting. In our meeting today, as you know, we'll be looking at adoption of reports as well as the part that relates to the minutes. We will then have a part that talks to the subcommittee, which means that once we complete the items, we will then take a few minutes break to allow the start of a subcommittee meeting, which committee will then adopt its program and be briefed on the process going forward in relation to the SABC board appointment process. This is so because the committee has already agreed to the subcommittee and names have been submitted as such. So we'll deal with these reports and immediately after that we'll take 10, 15 minutes break to allow those that are not members to log off, and then we'll stay on the platform to then start a new meeting of the subcommittee. So I hope that that then helps clarify on the work we'll do between now and one, that it will be in two parts. And then release members to go to the sitting. So we'll take that into account as we get to the other session. So having said that, honorable members, this meeting is officially opened, and I know that we are opening just after concluded on the Women's Month, and we're now starting a month known for heritage as well as tourism in the country. And I take it that the statements that we've made about empowerment of women during the Women's Month, these would also find expression as we deal with heritage. As you know, sometimes having grown up in the patriarchal system, even our tradition and cultures have that embedded in the way those systems operate. And that we can, as we reflect on our heritage, also make it our duty to reflect on the role of women in keeping that we call heritage today. And that in our traditions, our culture, as we celebrate it, we can also celebrate the role that women have played, even in shaping up what are known to be excellent kingdoms and so on, where men would have been put up as heroes, but behind those, everybody would know there would have been good advisors, and those would have been women, and some of them would have taken the throne and kept different nations going. So I hope we'd get into this Heritage Month with that in mind, so that the issue about women is not just about in August month, but we live with that throughout. Those would really be just a few opening remarks. As I've guided, we will now take the reports in the way we usually do. We'd have the first report to be flighted, which talks to the third and fourth quarter of 2021-2022 and expenditure reports of GCIS and MDDA. We are going to go page by page and then spend a bit of time on checking whether we agree on the observations as well as the recommendations in that score. on our observations on 7. Any point to raise on observations? On the MTDA observations? We are now on recommendations. And I'm sure honorable members would remember that this is really about a quarterly report, which have long passed. So you'll take that into account as you look at recommendations. And in that score, if there are no matters raised, can I get a sense of confirmation by raising of a hand to move for adoption of the report formally? I have Honorable Botlani first.
Chairperson, good morning to you and good morning to the colleagues. Chairperson, just so that I am on the same page of you, we have just dealt with the GCIS quarter 3 and quarter 4 performance report, correct?
Yes, Honorable Botlani. And the MDDA in that score from a point of quarterly report of the department. And this does not relate to the governance matters that we dealt with separately.
Yes. Chairperson, yes. My correction is on page 5, the sentence higher than anticipated spending was reported under compensations employees due to payment of non-pensionable cash allowances. I don't know how much more we can expand on that sentence. When I read it, I thought it does not provide clarity. And on the COVID spending, Chairperson, I have it on page 6. It's got two figures. It says at the end of the fourth quarter, the expenditure was 41.7 million. And then the next sentence in the same paragraph says the spend was 51.6 million. And so I'm not sure which figure is correct, because I think the sentences read the same way, but the figures are different. Let me see if I've got anything else, Chairperson. And that's my submission on that report, Chairperson.
I'm not sure if from the committee support, did you catch that?
I beg your pardon, Chairperson?
No, I'm checking with committee support to prepare the report, whether they got the point you are making, and in case they clarify there. Otherwise, we can make the correction if need be.
Mr. Maleka?
Okay, I don't see the hand on this side. Mr. Maleka?
Morning, honorable members, morning chair. We'll look at the report thereafter, chair, in terms of the corrections by honorable members.
Okay, so I just wanted to be sure that you do catch that. But otherwise, from a point of observations and recommendations, there are no issues raised. May I then get a mover and second before we get to the next report?
Chairperson, I move.
Honorable Polani moves. Can I get a seconder?
I second, sir.
Honorable Mlala seconds. Is there any dissenting view in us adopting the report? No, the report then is agreed to. We'll then get to the report on TCDT. So we'll do the same. Honorable members, if you can just pinpoint the page where you want to make corrections so that when we get to observations and recommendations, we can spend a bit of time there. Are now on observations. Starting with the department. We now get into recommendations, starting with the department.
Chairperson, I think Ms. Bonner raised her hand.
Honorable Kolobana, sorry, I didn't notice your hand. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. I wonder if we could just go back to the post office. If you could just scroll down a bit.
You are on observations.
I've asked to go back to the section on this one. Look, while it says that the post office is operating under severe cash flow shortages, I think that something that has been ignored, perhaps, is that the medical aid claims are about to be discontinued because they've been taking, by all reports, taking the medical aid contributions by the members, by the staff members, and not being paying them to the medical aid. Now, that to anyone's mind really would be fraud. I don't see a specific reference to that under that entity. So that is what they do say, and they did say in the presentation that they had difficulty in paying a number of their debts. But the reality is you have their staff members, and I think we're talking 12,000, so with their families, probably 20,000 people who stand to lose their medical aid very soon, if not today. So I think it's a huge issue. And I really, for them to be asking for more money when I think, you know, criminal charges are in order, it is a huge ask. And it looks like just throwing money down a bottomless pit. So that's it. I think we need that definitely in the report. Otherwise, I'm not happy at all because it has come out very strongly that this is the situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kola Barnett. I just want to check if this would suffice instead of putting up a new one, whether we do not build this in V3, so that the financial side of things is understood to be also impacting on because it may not just be the medical aid, what if it involves also provident funds and so on, or pension funds of people. So I was just checking whether it was just about that or do you want us to rework it there, which we can still do and circulate after the meeting, the exact wording. But I did capture your point that those should reflect in the report.
Chairperson, if I may.
Honorable Kola Barnett, yes.
Yeah, Chair, I think while I understand there are issues, huge issues, of bills not being paid. I think this specific one, and I've spoken to various legal people about it, the fact that medical aid benefits have been taken off of the salaries of the staff. However, they've not been then duly paid to the medical aid. That, looking at it from any area, would be considered to be deemed to be fraud. So I think that it may well be the case that in other areas there is a similar activity going on. But specifically in the medical aid, that's the one that's been brought to my attention. And I think that's something that this committee should be looking into very closely. One can't allow on our watch any sort of fraud going on, no matter how tight money is, to take money from staff and not pay it onto the medical aid, as is the legislated duty of an entity, is, well, there's no other word for it. It's fraud. So I would ask that that be separate as is being put up. Perhaps we should be investigating further in terms of, you know, it's all well and good to say they're unable to pay bills, but the impact on the staff seems to be inordinate. Thank you.
I just wanted to check, Honorable Kola Barnett, because I want us to be sure that we're dealing with the same report. I do see that for the purposes of this quarter, it seems it would have not been the case, but it may be a report for the other quarter. May I just give, I see the CEO is on the platform of SAPO, just to clarify with this information you have, whether it's on the basis of these two quarterly reports or it is a new matter that arises, so that we capture that line properly. CEO?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Honorable Members. Yes, indeed. The matter that Honorable Kola Barnett is raising now around the potential suspension of membership is something that took place in the last 2 weeks. And we are indeed dealing with it with Medipos. There is a meeting this afternoon, and there has been a payment made to Medipos yesterday to try and avert that problem. So in terms of the previous reports, this particular matter that the member is raising is not necessarily there, but yes, we had not been paying. So I'm unsure if this particular report should be amended or this matter should be taken in a subsequent report. Thank you, Chair.
If I may, Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Kola Barnett.
I don't have the exact date, but it seems that reports are that this has not been paid for some considerable amount of time. It may be that because of the revelations coming out, that now suddenly there are meetings going on with Mediports, but I believe that during this period, and covered by some considerable amount of time, the medical aid benefits were not handed over from the company. So could we perhaps get from the CEO an exact date of when they stopped paying the medical aid, at what point? And that would give us an indication as to whether this should be on this particular report or not. Thank you.
Thank you. I see.
Thank you, Chair. The member is correct, Chair, that the matter of non-payment or less than the full amount paid is not a new matter. So yes, these reports do cover that as well. But what I was responding to was the specific matter that the member raised, because the member was specific to say people are likely to lose their benefits as of, you know, this month, which is also correct. So I was correcting that. Now, perhaps we need to clarify on this matter that over the period, SAPO has just not been making enough money to cover even the full salary payments, meaning the actual salary for the staff, but also the statutory, including the medical aid. So what has then been happening is that whatever was deducted from the staff has always been being paid to the medical aid. What was not paid because of the shortage of cash is the two-thirds part that the company is supposed to pay. So that's what was not coming through, purely because we just didn't have enough money to cover. So technically, the money that was deducted from the members themselves has been paid over, but it was not sufficient because we still needed to pay the two-thirds, which we still need to actually pay as soon as we are able to. So that's what I needed to clarify, Chair. And then the committee can then decide as to whether to amend the last two reports to show that.
Honourable members, I'm sure you'd agree that we have spent time on this matter. Of course, if there are new developments, the safe way would be for us to get a report. We'll just keep the matter for now and therefore look again from the content advisor side, the report they worked on. And I want to remind members, like I did earlier, we are looking at the period under review. And if that matter is not in this report, would not be able to capture it as such, so that we are not found wanting in that regard. But the concerns that are raised are genuine concerns, and we should be worried about them as the committee, and therefore may need SAPO as it comes back to speak to that. And it will also help us to understand whether the meetings that they are holding and payments that have been made, whether they do save the situation and getting people protected from a point of medical aid and other statutory payments that needs to be made. So I want to make that ruling, members, that we at least proceed on those lines. Honorable Kola Barnard.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, I think we're looking at specific reports over specific dates. Yes, yes, the money was not paid to the medical aid for some years, I believe. So that's why the medical aid drew a line in the sand and said enough. I mean, they can only carry people for so long. So the concern is that the staff should have been all along that the staff would lose their medical aid benefits. There has been a statement made that, oh, well, they were paying the amount deducted from the staff salaries, but not paying their own two-thirds contribution, which means that the members were defaulting. That, of course, is a matter of forensic audit to determine the reality of that situation. So I think it could possibly say that there's a concern that staff stood to lose their medical aid benefits due to non-payment, full stop. Yeah. I think the rest could be removed because the claim is it was not deducted. While it was deducted from the staff, that section was paid to the medical aid. So that is the claim that's made. So I think concern that the staff stood to lose their medical aid benefits due to non-payment, it would be quite sufficient in these reports. Thank you.
No, thank you. We then proceed. Like I said, we'd rework that. Proceed. Let's go down. You'd come back to that. Thank you. We're on actually recommendations. Starting with the department. Just to check there if there are anything, if there's anything to raise, honorable members. with that has been said, Honorable Bodlani.
Chairperson, I beg your pardon. I've got my notes on the whole document, so I'm going back on page 4 on the switch off of SABC analog television transmitters. Chairperson, reading the sentence, I think it needs a bit of reconstruction because it says 4 provinces, namely Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, and I'm guessing and Gauteng. Then a new sentence to say Eastern Cape was coordinated but could not be concluded as planned. I'm understanding the logic of that sentence so that it reads better. Also, Chairperson, on page... Please give me a minute. Oh, okay. Chairperson, on the BBI, the last bullet point, point number 10, I think, yeah. The process of merging BBI and...
Sorry, Ms. Bagani, what page is that?
I'm on page 13 now, BBI. 5.6. Are you there, ma'am?
Oh, we got it, Ms. Bodlani.
Okay. Chairperson, the sentence reads, the process of merging BBI and Centec because it creates uncertainty in the organization. I think just a bit of background to because for us who know what is happening, it's one thing, but for somebody who's going to pick up the report and not have context in terms of the merger, I think it just needs to be beefed up. And also, underspending was mainly driven on, sorry, now I am on 5.8 ICASA, and I think it is page 14. And point number 7, that underspending was mainly driven by litigation on the spectrum auction process. That's how it reads. And I don't know if we are also able to provide more clarity on that, because if it is driven by litigation on the spectrum auction process, if I remember correctly, it was Telkom who litigated with ICASA. So if we could also provide more information on that sentence so that it provides the context. And that is my submission on that report, Chairperson. Thank you.
Any other takers on the report? So with all that has been raised, can I get again a sense of the approval of the report by members, adoption?
Chair?
Yes, Honorable Tembu.
I move adoption of the report and all additions made. Thank you.
I get a second.
I second Mam Tembu, Chair, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mlala. Seconded. Any opposing view on us adopting this report? Not. It's then agreed to. We'll now take the minutes. those are the minutes. Can I check honorable members if there are corrections to be made? If not, get a mover and second up for adoption of minutes. The Honorable Mulala.
It looks like the network is in and out. I can't hear you properly.
Yes, Honorable Mulala, we are on the adoption of minutes. So I thought you were on that point when I saw your name appearing, but you were muted. So couldn't hear you.
Yeah, no. I'm moving for the adoption, Chair.
Can I get a second?
I second, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kumbu. I take it that there's no different view. So the minutes are also agreed to. Ajira?
Chairperson?
That was the last set, isn't it? Before we get to
the
subcommittee
issues. Thank you.
All right. Honorable members, as agreed, would take a break and get to a subcommittee meeting. So those members of the subcommittee on the SABC board appointment process would not log out, so would still proceed on this platform, and those that may still want to be on the platform, as we allow the other members, if they want to log out, to log out. So the time now is 9:04. We'll then start at 10 with the committee, just to also give committee support to prepare the items that they are going to take us through in the subcommittee. So this meeting on adoption of reports, which is the main committee, is now adjourned, and would then resume a subcommittee meeting at 10. Morning, honorable members. Just want to be sure that we can be able to start. Achara?
You can stop, Chief. Portia will take over, Chief.
All right. Ms. Ndabin, we can start, right?
Recording in progress.
Good morning, Chairperson. Yes, Chair, we can start.
Greetings, honorable members. Greetings to all participants on the platform. As I can see, there are also civil society organizations on the platform who always there. Keep in touch with what the committee and its subcommittees do. We really appreciate that, as well as South Africans who would be following our proceedings in different ways. I will, honorable members, without waste of time, now that we know we do have a quorum to proceed, just to, as a way of opening, remind ourselves that in all its subcommittees, the National Assembly rules also apply, and this includes the virtual platforms rules that have been adopted for meetings in the virtual platform. Just to remind yourselves once again that we are expected to mute our mics if we're not speaking, switching off video cameras until you are recognized by the chairperson. In that case, you'll then open up your video camera as well as unmute your mic and then proceed to speak as recognized by the chair. If you are experiencing connectivity challenges, you'd indicate to the chairperson for permission to switch off the video camera so as to maximize your bandwidth. Of course, there will be situations where we may be disconnected and have to reconnect. This applies to all participants on the platform, that at all times when you reconnect to the meeting, ensure that your mic is muted and your video camera is off, so as to avoid background sounds that could be picked up that will distract the speaker that may be on the platform at the time. As point of orders would also apply as per the rules, you would be recognized first before you unmute your mic. In that score, then you would unmute your mic, raise the point of order for which the chairperson could rule upon. Honorable members, we are also advised not to raise unnecessary point of orders that could lead to the collapse of the meeting on this platform. Of course, if we keep to the rules, we should be able to have a smooth running meeting that completes its work on time. I do know that as we convene this subcommittee, other members may be traveling between villages and parliament. In that score, connectivity issues would arise. But we do hope that we would be able to be qualitative in our engagement, this being the first meeting of the subcommittee. So I would then, without a waste of time, as I said, you are really welcome. I'll just check for purposes of record if the apologies that have been received and for us to put those on record.
Good morning, Chairperson, members, as well as colleagues. We have two apologies, Chair. Ms. Kubeka was sick. Mr. Pambo was traveling, as well as Ms. Majos is traveling at the moment, so is unable to attend the meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so those are the apologies, but like I said, we have the necessary quorum to proceed. So in that score, we'll be able to proceed. As we proceed, you would then be able to indicate the short agenda would be dealing with today. Right, so we'd be considering the, like I said, that item needed to come to the subcommittee directly because we have the subcommittee already in place. As you know, honorable members, we are to deal with the appointment process for the board. We therefore need to consider and adopt a program. And I will take it that will also be taken through on just the process itself as it gets to be by content advisors, as well as at least by end of the meeting, that we were able to get a sense that members would receive the list of those that have been nominated to be candidates, so as to be able to work on that as we would be preparing for the next stage. I would now request that you put up the program, but I thought maybe before we do that, at least we get the sense of the process so that when we adopt the program, we must seek to achieve that. I'm not sure if from the side of content advisors, if there's anything that they would want to raise at this point before we actually flight the program.
If I may, Chair, it's Jacob Medupe.
Okay, Mr. Medupe.
My camera is not working fine, Chair. If you were to apologize, to forgive me on that one. In terms of the actual process, Chair, you know, the intention is to, in our first sitting, as outlined, the first sitting of the subcommittee, which is planned for Thursday, as the schedule, has indicated, and I'm sure that would be, flighted as soon as I'm done. The plan is to really to outline a full process in the form of a short presentation on Thursday. But in a nutshell, a very high level, business process in terms of, what would be, followed during the interview process. It would be actual shortlisting. It would be the qualification checks, state security, the vetting process on state security matters. Public participation process would also be undertaken. The actual interview process will also be outlined as part of a presentation, on Thursday. Deliberation, on the whole interview process, and the National Assembly adoption. But that, we are in the process of, given the fact that we, recently adopted the time frame and the actual dates, in terms of how the actual interviews are going to be panning out. We are, as part of the Thursday's meeting, going to, formalize the actual presentation, very brief one, on Thursday, just to, to guide the members in terms of the entire process on how this, I'm going to pan out until the final, appointment of the, the 12 members. I hope that suffices, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Medupe. As you know, Dr. Medupe is one of the content advisors that have recently joined the committee. As you know, we've always had Mr. Malika Alonso, they are now both content advisors to the committee. Would then request Ms. Ndabeni to flight the program so that members could then input on the program before we get to actual adoption. Honorable Kola Barnard, I see your hand.
Thank you, Chair. Obviously we've received this, and it looks like a packed program that should work, hopefully. I have one or two issues. The interviews themselves, that would be on the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. I'm concerned that they're being done virtually. What would be the reason for that? I've just personally gone through the JSCI interviews for the Inspector General of Intelligence. They were all done live. They're open to the public, obviously. So I'm very concerned. I don't think one gets the same feel for an interviewee if they're done on the screen. So I'd like some sort of explanation for that, if that has been a decision that someone has taken somewhere. Also, if I may ask at this stage, could someone please send me the advertisement that was flighted and also the full list of candidates so I can start doing my own homework. Thank you very much. Oh, there is one other issue. On Tuesday, the 13th, which is set aside for interviews. I have, oh, I see. Tuesday the 13th, you only start at 6 o'clock in the evening. Never mind, it doesn't matter. It's no longer relevant. Thank you.
Now, Honorable Colabarant, there are two sets there in terms of time on that Tuesday. There's 9 to 1, and then get to the house, proceed 18 hours to 21 hours. So you can raise the point you wanted to raise there again.
I just have a declaration that I had to make, but I see we are in the sitting. The times for the interviews fall outside the time of the sitting. So my concern falls away. I do beg your pardon for raising it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. There was a voice at the back, but I was trying to check the name if there's a hand up.
Hi, Chairperson, I don't see any other hand.
Okay. I take it that, honorable members, the program is a proposal. And I would want to also say that from experience with us, the virtual interviews have worked because people reached at any given time. And of course, the costs that go with that in terms of getting candidates to a particular venue and the logistics that go with that. So we would have taken advantage of what technology presents as a way of doing work in our times. And as I say, it would have not been a problem because the public is still able to follow as these get to be also streamed live, including on the parliamentary channel. I'm saying probably that's what would have informed the proposal put before the subcommittee. But like I said, the adoption of the program is that of the subcommittee. What is before the subcommittee is a draft, and it will then become program once we are done. I think as it relates to the list, like I said, once we have adopted the program, we should be able to get going in terms of receiving the list to start working on. So I think that's really that. May I just check if there's any other member who would want to make a contribution regarding the program?
Chairperson?
Yes, honorable member?
Yeah, no, I think...
honorable Lala, yes?
I don't have a problem with the program as it's stipulated. The only challenge I have is that in terms of the vetting process and will it be done after the interviews or has it already been done? Just for my information, if I missed something.
I'm not sure from the content advisors before maybe one come in, if you would want to speak to that point.
If I may, Chair, I'm sorry, my hand raising of my hand is not working. It's Jacob again. Given that the time constraint, Chair, given that the fact that the current board, the last date is the 15th of October, and the program is quite congested, for the interview processes. We thought that as soon as the names have been shortlisted, then the vetting process would kick in almost immediately, you know, parallel to the interview process. So that undertaking has not been done as yet, but it would kick in as soon as, you know, the names have been shortlisted, and then we can start with the actual vetting process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Mitubi. And I'm sure that point has now been clarified, Honorable Mlala, that we would not shortlist the, we would not be vetting the list that we would receive, but the shortlisted candidates would be the ones that you'd look at vetting parallel to our processes continuing, so that we minimize the risk of having people at the stage of appointment that they still have pending reports in terms of that vetting process. So I take it to be clear now.
Chairperson, I do have a question.
Yes, Honorable Kolabana.
Chairperson, if I might ask Dr. Madupi to explain what level of clearance the members of the board have to have. I do know, because I sit on the JSCI, that top secret security clearance is a very long and arduous process. Our one member took 8 months. So while I understand this is possible, it could be expedited, I am fearful that in the 2 weeks that we're given for the final deliberations, that process may not actually be completed timeously. But it may be that they need a lower level of clearance. Perhaps the doctor could explain for us. Thank you.
Yes, Dr. Mitubi, do you want to clarify?
If I may, Chair, thank you very much, Chair. If I may, I think on that score, Chair, given that, you know, Mr. Malikke has done, you know, a bit of work in as far as that process is concerned, and I'm not too sure if you could then come in, you know, given the fact that I've, you know, recently myself, you know, started in July, and some of those things I'm yet to, you know, to sort of, you know, get a grip on. May I then request that Mr. Malikke, if he can assist in that score, if that's all in order, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you, Dr. Midupi. The first point I would like to clarify, Honourable Chair, is that as is the norm, we never vet all the whole list of applicants. We usually start the vetting process post the shortlisting. And the way it's done is that because, as is the case, we usually publish the names of the shortlisted people. So it's a parallel process that we do where we actually take the shortlisted names and give to HR. HR has its own subcontractors that deal with, for instance, vetting of the qualifications. And SSA, which has always been quite proactive in assisting us, knowing the pressure that we have, they do the vetting in as far as criminal records and so forth. I don't have the actual, you know, grade as the honourable member had said, but I know that SSA does the actual, you know, composite vetting of all the nominees that are tabled before them, and it's usually, well, I think that's because Mr. Ngoma had some connections, I don't know. But we would usually get it within the 2 weeks that we prescribe to them. So we'll have to really try to see if we can get a contact or, you know, to see if we can expedite that matter within the SSA. But it's safe to say that they're usually quite responsive and timeously so in assisting us to make sure that vetting happens on time. And it usually happens even before we finish the interviews. that all depends. Some individuals we find it takes longer because SSA has to dig further, but most of the time it becomes quicker. And with the qualifications check, it's usually a foregone conclusion that they do it quite quick. HR people we have in Parliament. That clarifies it.
Thank you, Dr. Madupi and Mr. Malika. I take it that the clarities that honourable member would have wanted would have been clarified. It may not be the top secret vetting, which would take its own time. Perhaps that's more of lower level. But of course, because you've also asked for the advert being new in the committee, I think that should be also forwarded to you together with the list. I would say that you'd notice it in the advert that there are two vetting processes that are referred to. First being this one that would be done and in the mid-term of the board, you do the same. Of course, that may be deeper, including lifestyle audits that gets done in the entities. This is part of the committee's contribution in responding to what the Seed Capture Commission would have raised about us as Parliament also playing a role in ensuring that there's clean government in a way. So you'd get that in the advert as well as the list itself. But honourable members, as you'd know, any program remains a living document, which from time to time may need adjustments given material conditions at the time. So if there may be issues that come up, at least the subcommittee is empowered to assess its program and look at better ways of delivering. Of course, the program takes into account the work that needs to be done in Parliament, but also some requests received from members, Honorable Kola Barnard being one of those members, would have requested that there would have been prior engagements in the beginning, I think, of October or so. And will therefore not be readily available to serve in the committee. The intention is really to keep the committee together up to finality. So everything else has been done to accommodate all those different challenges. And I would say let's give it a try and make the program work within the timelines we have, of course, with the necessary support that we need to get. So can I then have formally a mover for adoption of the program with that understanding and the second, so that at least having adopted the program, we can then release the documentation that is needed for members to apply their minds in preparing for the other meeting.
I move, Chair.
Honourable Kola Barnard moves. Can I get a seconder?
I second, Chair.
Honourable Mtembu seconds. So I take that the programme has been agreed to and will therefore be able to communicate accordingly. Can the committee support confirm what will be sent to members and how they will access what gets sent to the members post this meeting? Or I officially adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. Shortly, Chair, I will send the members the link with which they will access the CVs. And I will also send the summaries of the CVs. And as requested by Honorable Kola Barnard, I will also send the copy of the advert that was published. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. David. I'm sure, honourable members, you hear that if there are challenges in accessing the link and so on, you would be able to make contacts with community support, in this case, Ms. Dabeni, and we take it from there. That has been said. You can just unshare now that the program has been adopted. So I take it, honorable members, that we've now adopted the program. Like I said, if you need assistance in accessing the documents, if you are having difficulties, do engage with the committee support for that assistance. It's unless there's no other member would want to raise any matter in what has been raised by committee support, I would really want to close from there. Is there any member? On my side, I don't see any.
Yes, Chair, I don't see any other hand as well.
Okay, thank you. Honorable members, then this takes us to the end of our meeting, first meeting of the subcommittee on the appointment process for the SABC board. I hope we'll indeed try to keep to the program, deliver on what we had communicated to society, that it is not the intention of the committee to have interim arrangements post the expiry of the board's term, but that there is better transition between the new board and the existing board of the SABC. With that, this meeting is now officially adjourned until we meet in the next meeting. Thank you.